Our passage for today comes from Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. Acts 2, verses 1 to 21, and you can find it on page 1692 in your Pew Bibles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of the Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all my people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" Thus far, the reading of God's word.
Thank you. Father, what an amazing morning already. We remember Pentecost, the pouring out of your Spirit. We celebrated baptism, you reaching down, again, your presence coming close, putting your seal and your sign on the coal. And Lord, now we come to you and we reflect on this passage about Pentecost that Luke shared with us, that he wrote. We pray that these words may settle deep within our hearts and minds and souls to shape us and form us more and more into who you've created us to be. And I pray that the words which will now be spoken, may they be your words and not mine. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pentecost. What does it mean? What does it mean to you? We don't ask that question very often. We'll ask that question about Christmas. We'll ask it about Good Friday and Easter. But we don't ask that very often about Pentecost. And yet Pentecost is kind of the whole culmination that begins when the angels appearing to Mary and to Joseph saying, "Hey, you're going to have a baby." Now we think of fire and flame when we think of Pentecost. We think of wind and rushing wind and all that kind of stuff as well. And it's important for us to know some things about the Hebrew and Greek language, that the word for wind, and the word for spirit, and the word for breath are all the same word. So we translate the wind kind of rush through, but it could be the breath of God. Could be the Spirit of God. All ties together. Pentecost. It's about God coming close, breathing on us, saying, "You're mine, and I want you." And breathing is such a personal, intimate thing. Because that's the kind of relationship that God wants with us. So Pentecost, perfect time for baptism, because it's about new life. It's about gift, and that's what Nicole is all about, new life, a gift to both Melanie and Grant and to Eric, but also a gift to grandparents and to family and to us as well, a beautiful, beautiful gift. It's also tied to the harvest festival because it is about nourishment. It's about providing for us. When Jesus said, "Go out and make all kinds of disciples," he also realized that we couldn't do it on our own. So he gave us a gift of a Holy Spirit to kind of equip us. Now, we focus in Pentecost on all kinds of things. We focus on the different languages. We focus on the fire. We focus on so many different things. I could be here all afternoon talking about Pentecost. But I know that some of you have roast in the oven and chicken ready to cook and barbecue and cleaning up after camping. So we're going to focus on Peter quoting Joel. Joel chapter 2. A chapter where Joel is saying, you know what? You've drifted away from God. You've drifted away from the one who claims you as your own. And unlike a lot of the other prophets, Joel doesn't beat them over the head. Joel says, God is promising to breathe his spirit onto you. And what's going to happen? Well, there's going to be some pretty amazing things that happen. Old men are going to dream dreams. Young men are going to have visions. There's going to be prophesying that's going to happen. And we kind of look at these things and we kind of go, how is that tied to Pentecost? Well, it's tied to Pentecost because the Spirit gives us that ability once again to have hope, to be encouraged, to come back close to God because God is coming close to us. And when God comes close, we're able to dream again. We're able to have visions. We're able to prophesy, because prophesying is not speaking into the future. Prophesying is speaking God into life right around us, right here, right now. Pentecost also reminds us that we used to follow a law that was written on 10 Commandments, laws that were written down by the people of Israel, and that was a gift given at Sinai. And again, how did God come down to Sinai? He came down in wind and in thunder and lightning and fire and everything else. And so when Pentecost happened that first time in the New Testament, as they felt the wind, as they saw the flames, they're kind of going, whoa, this goes way back to when God came close after he had saved his people. And then they start connecting dots. Now, there's always a few who kind of say, these guys are a little crazy. You know, they kind of come out of this building and now they're talking all this crazy talk about this guy who's risen from the dead. I know it's early in the morning, but they got to have been drinking all night long. And Peter stands up and says, nah, you don't get it. You don't understand what's going on. You know, Jeremiah said, we're not going to worry about the law written on stone anymore because God is going to write his law right on our hearts. And what's happening right now, this wind, this spirit, this breath that's kind of coming over us and around us and filling us and all these flames, that's God writing himself into our hearts. So that we don't have to wonder anymore, how do we please God? How do we do all the things that are going to make God happy? We don't have to come to God and give sacrifices and say, please God, please forgive me. Because now God is close. Because Jesus has washed us clean of our sin. Jesus has taken our sin onto that cross, and it's all gone now. And now, because God sees us through Jesus' eyes, and Jesus is risen and living with God, he's right beside him on the throne beside God. God is looking at us through the eyes, through Jesus, through his Son. So he's not seeing people who are filled with sin. He's not seeing people who've drifted away. He's seeing people that are his children, that are his daughters and his sons. He sees princes and princesses in the kingdom of heaven. He sees people that are so precious to him that he was willing to send his Son, his only begotten Son, to die so that we could be close to him again. And what happens when God comes close? We get filled with hope. Because God's Spirit's a life-changing Spirit. Causes our sons and daughters to prophesy, to speak out what God's doing in our world, to see visions of what God is doing and how God is working in this world, building his kingdom here. I don't know about those of you who are a little older, but the thing I appreciate about young adults and about teenagers, it's the fact that they dream big dreams. They're not satisfied with the world the way it is right now. They say, we can make a difference. We can change things. There's a reason why so many new businesses and that are started by people who are younger. First of all, it takes a whole lot of energy. But they can also see things that we've forgotten to look for. They can see the potential and the possibilities. And when our young people and young adults are also followers of Jesus, they're able to see God working in ways that sometimes we forget to look for. And they say, we can make these things that aren't the way they should be. We can change them. That's why I love our young people. I love our young adults. Because they dream dreams. But for those of us who are older, Pentecost also helps us again to recapture the ability to have visions of what God can do. Instead of saying this is the way it is and just leaving it at that, even for those of us who are older, when we see and hear our young people and young adults, we're able to start dreaming. We're able to start getting excited about what God can do, what God is doing. And when we listen to our young people and young adults, we get to see how God is at work. And then we get to join in. And we get to be excited all over again. That's why I love Pentecost. Because The Holy Spirit reminds us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Words of reassurance and grace. It gives me a different picture of the church. And it's an exciting picture of the church. It's not about committees and groups and meetings to make sure everything runs so. Those things need to happen. But it's about dreaming, about training our eyes and our ears and hearts to see where God's working, and then dreaming to see how we can join Him in reaching others. About coming alongside people, helping them to dream with the Holy Spirit. Dream of full lives, of changed lives, of healed lives, of healthy communities that know Jesus, that are helping each other to reach for their potential. It's about a community that building each other up, being an encouraging community that lives well, forgives well, laughs and lives life well together in our day-to-day activities and work and study and play. The picture of the Holy Spirit here is of a wind, but it's also, when you tie to Jesus, it's like a river. It's pouring out the Holy Spirit. Pouring out of heaven and filling the earth. And it's a river that we're part of. And sometimes it's an exciting white water river ride. Other times it's kind of the lazy river ride, where we kind of get a chance to catch our breath once again. But the river keeps moving, and we keep moving along with it. Dreaming and visions are not about the future. They're about seeing right now. Seeing where what is possible here. Looking and talking to Jesus and saying, what are you doing? How can I join you? How can I be part of it? Martin Luther King Jr., he dreamed of a time when all people would be seen as equal, where slave and free men would sit together, and his children would be treated according to their character instead of their king. It took hard work and great sacrifice. But it was a dream that was possible based on a changing culture at the time. And he recognized some of the changing parts of going on within the culture. But dreaming frees our imaginations. Circle of Friends, a beautiful ministry here. Started off by packing lunch bags and going to a park. And now it's a weekly gathering of 50, 60 plus people coming together and not just eating a great meal, but getting to sit together, getting to hear what's been going on during the week. And when we have a chance, we can see how God is working in those lives on a week-to-week basis as well. Somebody dreamed. And he dreamed and made it possible because he looked at our community and said, I believe I see Jesus working in this way. We look backwards on Pentecost to Joel to see where God's found today. In Joel's time, the people were drifting from God. And you know what? People are drifting from God today. That is part of who people are. And yet Joel comes with news that God wants a close relationship. He encourages. And that's what people need today. They need encouragement. Pentecost is about encouragement and excitement as God comes close to us, helping us to speak Jesus into people's lives. The pouring out of the Spirit, dreaming and visions, is not about making more church work. See, that's my problem, is when I dream like really big. And then I dream of getting all kinds of people together. And whenever you get all kinds of people, it's a new program, it's a new ministry or whatever. But Pentecost is not about more church work. Pentecost is about the day-to-day lives that we live. About learning to see what Jesus is doing already in your life and the lives of the people around you, and then helping them to see Jesus. Backyard barbecues with friends and neighbors who are not connected to Jesus yet. Ball games with your kids' teams right now, driving on to church. All these campers in no frills and coming along by Michener Park. All campers, all kinds of ball teams. You know, if our kids are involved in that or we're involved in that, what a great time sitting around during the games or afterwards and just connecting, learning each other's lives, and then looking to see where Jesus is already at work there, and then listening for opportunities to share a little bit of what we believe and why. Relaxing on the beach with friends, there are all times where the Spirit can flow through you and into others. Dreams help us see how this is possible, to see the opportunities that are here right now. So dream this summer. Have visions about how Jesus can work here in our community and allow the Spirit to use you to speak Jesus encouragingly into one another's life this summer. Because a Spirit like Nicole is a beautiful gift. So open your arms wide and embrace that gift and walk into the summer excited, dreaming dreams of who you can share your faith with, having visions of people that you can touch. And put aside the church committees and the church work for a while. And realize that God just wants us to connect with people. Because that's what God is all about. He's about people. About us reaching other people. And growing his kingdom and building his kingdom here. Let's pray. Oh, Pentecost. Father, what an amazing way to kind of kick in a new chapter of how you're working with us and in us and through us. Pentecost, a day where we're reminded that following you is filled with dreams and visions and excitement. It's about hope. It's about encouragement. It's about blessing. It's about gift. So Lord, on this Pentecost, let's go out from here celebrating. Celebrating who you are and the gifts that you give us. The gift of new life, both in Nicole, but new life in our own hearts and souls. New life in the world around us. So we ask for your blessing, that we might be a blessing. Amen.